top resolutions for 2026, similar to every single year. You know what the number one? Health and fitness, exercise, eat healthy, mental, emotional wellness, to be happy, to be mindful, to be kind to myself, limit my social media. I'm going to learn a new language. I'm going to learn a new instrument. I'm going to read more books. I'm going to take classes. I'm going to listen to educational podcasts. I'm going to save money. I'm going to pay down debt. I'm going to get a better budget. I'm going to avoid wasting money. I'm going to spend more time with family, spend more time with friends. I'm going to strengthen connections. I'm going to be more generous. I'm going to get more organized. I'm going to be more productive. I'm going to get a better routine for life every day. I'm going to learn to manage my time better. I'm going to spend some more time in nature. I'm going to redo my house. I'm going to find new places to eat. Just go to the ones that eat by Francisco. I'm going to get new hobbies. I'm going to start a photo book. I'm going to learn to cook new dishes. I'm going to write a letter to myself. Top resolution 2026. Now we get into the spiritual ones. Deepen faith in God. Be more grateful. Serve more people. I'm going to pray more often. I'm going to study the Bible more. I'm going to be kind and do kind things to people. I'm going to write down daily thoughts of things that I'm grateful for, because being grateful, it's a proven fact that it boosts mental and physical wellness. Being grateful, proven fact that boosts mental and physical wellness. I'm going to trust God's plans more. I'm going to be more patient. 2026. 2026, if you Google what the spiritual meaning of 2026 is, it's the year of new beginnings. It means to begin again. It means growing in leadership, the ability to start new things, to have breakthrough in different cycles, to be reborn, born again. It also means spiritual warfare, learning the balance of worship, to look up while fighting through the battlefield of life. If you look at the number 26 in the Bible, it carries and it holds a great significance. It is the number for God's glory. 2026, a call, a charge to carry the presence and the power of God. A new year has begun. Many of us, 2026, we've hit the ground running. Some of us have hit the ground walking. Some of us have hit the ground crawling. And some of us are just like in concrete, like a deer in the headlights. But 2026 has arrived. You know, many started this new year like all of us do. God, I need a word. Maybe I need direction. Maybe I need a path. God, please light the way. Many of us, we focus on like the top resolutions, health and fitness. We focus on mental health, well-being, making ourselves happy. But the question I have this morning before we jump into the Bible is, does the word that we look for, does the word, does our actions in everyday movement, what does it show that we're truly, honestly searching for? So if health and fitness are our top priority, it's what we talk about. If the word of God, God, I need a word, God, I need a word, God, I need a word. If we're praying and seeking, we're saying that, then it's God the one that we're looking for. How many people, thousands, millions of people all over the world? And there's nothing wrong with having a New Year's resolution. I'm going to learn a new instrument. I'm going to read 10 books this year. I'm going to grow my leadership. I'm going to have new beginnings. There's going to be hope. There's nothing wrong with having positive resolutions. But if God isn't at the top of our list in 2026, remember, the number 26 carries a weight and a significance with God's glory. His presence and His power, there is nothing that can match God's presence and His power. There is nothing on the world, nothing in this planet that can match who God is and what He does and what He has for us every single day. 2026, it started today is January 4th, as all of us know that, right? So 4 days into 2026, how many of us have thought, God, I need a word? Or have we been on the other side of the coin? It's, I just need to be more healthier. I just need to get my mind right. If God isn't at the top, the mind and the heart are never going to be right anyway. If God isn't at the top of the list, your body's not going to work right anyway. It's the principles and it's the word of God that makes life work right. So a couple things today as we start out our new year, 2026. Ephesians 5:16 says, make the most of every opportunity. Make the most out of every opportunity in these evil days. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. We have no idea if we're going to bomb somebody, they're going to bomb us, right? We have no idea what's going on in the world. But one thing that we do know is what God's word says. And while we are here, while we are alive, we have to learn to make the most of it. Every opportunity. Every opportunity to what? To make ourselves feel good? No, every opportunity to do God's word. Don't act thoughtlessly. Many of us, we act many days and moments and seconds thoughtlessly, doing stupid stuff because we're acting without thought. We're not concerned about consequences. 2026, a great goal to start is I'm going to make the most of every single opportunity God gives me. For every day, every week, every month. Galatians 6:7. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live to satisfy themselves, sinful nature, will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. Those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Amen. Let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at the right moment, the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. In 2026, I think it's a great year, as we always start resolutions, we always think, we always try, but I think now more than ever, it's really important to be careful what seeds you're planting with your life. What seeds are we planting with our life? You will not mock the justice of God. What you've planted, it will sprout. What you've said, it's going to grow. Don't be misled. You will never mock the justice of God. So 2026, be careful what seeds we plant with our life. Be careful what seeds we plant with our money. Be careful what seeds we plant with our friends. Be careful what seeds we plant with fans and family and workplaces. Everything in life, what seeds should I plant in 2026? For eternity, for God, or for whom? Let's not get tired of doing what is good, because the right time will reap a harvest of blessings. I love the second part of the verse, because how many of us in ourselves and how many of us know people who get tired of doing what's good? After a certain time, I only can do good for so long, and then I have to do something maybe a little bad. How many people, they get tired and burn out of doing something good? Paul says, listen, don't ever get tired of doing what's good, because at the right time, you're going to reap a harvest of blessing. Your blessing, your harvest is right around the corner, but maybe God's saying, I need you to keep on planting good seeds and keep on doing what is good. I'm super excited to start January 1st, 2026. In Ephesians, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, on Communion Sunday. One of the things that 2026 means is spiritual warfare. How many of us, I don't know if you've been in the church a little time, long time, but years ago, spiritual warfare was talked about a lot. It was talked about tons. There's different ways that have gone through the Church of God. There's prosperity, there's blessing, there's healing, there's deliverance. Spiritual warfare was one of these things that was big. It was a big deal, and it was talked about all the time. And so this morning, 2026, one of the things that this year means is, if it's going to be a spiritual battle, how then am I going to learn to fight spiritually? Many of us in here this morning, because we've grown up in the church and there's a lot of things that we heard, we know certain things, we've done certain things, but maybe we've also forgotten certain things, and maybe we've gotten off certain paths that maybe we need to get back onto. Because we are in a spiritual battle. Every single day, I think we forget sometimes the things that we're facing, the things that our kids are facing, the things that our friends are facing. It is a spiritual battle. And I don't know about you, we're pretty competitive. We all like to, my family, whether we're playing basketball, football, board games, we're going to win or we're going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? So it's So we want to win or die, right? We like to compete. But really honest, at the end of the day, everyone was, I don't know if we understand, if we're not winning with God, then you're losing with the devil. And I wonder how many of us this morning in a spiritual battle don't really realize that we've caved into the devil, we've given into his lies, we've given into some of the things that he said without realizing it. This is a spiritual battle, and it needs to be taken seriously. So Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, it says, the final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after that battle, you'll still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. Shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I love how he ends it here. Pray for me too. Pray for me too. Pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews, Gentiles, for all humans. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that it'll keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. I love how Paul asks for prayers. Help me. Pray for me. I need help. This man penned most of the New Testament. What is he saying? He's being vulnerable and saying, pray, because maybe I won't say the right thing sometimes. Pray for me so that I speak the right thing at the right time. That I boldly explain God's mysterious plan for all. Points out is, number one, we need to be strong in God. We need to be strong in God. So many places, so many people, how many we know, how many gyms are popular? Gyms, working out, getting buff, getting muscles, getting in shape. People are looking for strength. We know that resolutions, we say it over and over again, one of the top resolutions. People want to be strong. They want to feel strong. How many of us to feel strong? After you work out, it's a good feeling, right? It's a super good feeling to work out. Exercise is one of the top things people look for in strength. For inner strength, most people look for inner reflection and meditation, believe it or not, to find their strength. Some find strength in their friends and their counselors. As Paul starts out and he gives out some spiritual warfare instructions, first thing he said is, learn to be strengthened by God. Learn to find his strength and not your strength. The statement, there's nothing on this earth that can give you the strength that God can. We know Isaiah 40, 29, God gives power to the weak, he gives strength to the powerless. Young people, be caution, but those who trust, those who hope, those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They're going to soar high, wings like eagles. They're going to run and not grow weary. They're going to walk and not be faint. Number one, this year, 2026, be strengthened in God. Find God's strength. Tap into the strength that all of us need. There are storms that are coming. There are waves. There are thunderstorms. There's lightning, thunder, all these things that are coming our way in 2026. One of the most important things that you can do is make sure every single day, God, I'm going to find my hope, peace, and strength in you. Number two, Paul says, put on all of God's armor. Put on all of God's armor. And what he was saying when he said put on all of God's armor, it's described as an armor of light. Romans 13:12 says, the night's almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. Remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. As Paul describes the armor of God, this armor that he was describing to the Romans, they fully understood the pieces that he described, that it was used to be offensive, to ready to go out and to kill, but it also, the armor was there to protect as well. And so as Paul is describing this, he's saying, listen, as Christians, we should be ready to go out and to share the world, the word. We should be ready, prepared to be protected from when the devil and all these things come. In 2 Corinthians 6:7, Paul says, faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack, in the left hand for defense. Paul describing this armor as an armor, and if you can picture a helmet and a shield, and a breastplate of righteousness, and the belt of truth, and the shoes, all these things. Honestly, the image that he was pointing on is you need to put on Jesus every single day. You need to clothe yourself with Jesus. And the image is to leave no room or openings for the devil. So there's two things that Paul is stating as he says put on the full armor of God. And number one is that is to clothe yourself with God and the things of God. And number two, do not leave any openings for the devil. So the head, the feet, the heart, the belly, the eyes, the ears, and the tongue. These are the things that are described to be protected every single day with the armor of God. Romans 13:14. Clothe yourself with the presence of Jesus. Don't let yourself think about ways to indulge yourself. Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Put on the armor of God. And what was the reason? So we're able to stand against strategies of the devil. Most of us in here, we like sports, football, baseball, basketball. We're in business. Maybe we invest in the stock market. How many of us know that every part of life, there's some form of strategy? We use strategies. So there is an enemy, in case you didn't know, this unseen enemy who has a strategy against you. The devil comes after you every single day. Does the devil want us to bow down and say, oh, devil, I worship you. Satan, you're the best. Lucifer, you are so awesome. He doesn't care if you worship him. When Jesus was here, he said to Jesus, yeah, bow down. I'll give you the world if you just bow down, worship the things. He wants you to worship the things of the world. He wants you to worship everything you see. He doesn't care if you worship God, worship him. He just doesn't want you to give your life to God. Get distracted with the things of this world. The devil uses a number of different strategies, and the first one is deception and lies. We know at the very beginning, the devil used half-truths to twist God's words, to disguise evil as good, and to lead people astray. The strategies of the devil, the very first thing he uses is half-truths, twisting God's word, disguising evil as good, to lead people astray. Second thing that the devil does is he causes division and discord. The devil loves to create wedges between people. The devil loves to create wedges. He loves to destroy churches. He loves to destroy families. He loves to destroy relationships. The devil causes division and discord between people and division between us and God. And he uses hatred, and he uses jealousy, and he uses resentment. The devil loves using temptation, desire, pleasure, pain, to lure people, the feeling for sin, the appeal to sin, while ignoring, hey, if you do this, there's going to be a consequence. The devil uses fear and doubt, fear, insecurity, suspicion, manipulation, to paralyze people. We saw in the Bible that in Egypt, the Jewish people were living there, and they were thriving, and they were becoming a big community. The king of Egypt sees all these Jewish people, and he gets afraid because he says to himself, I'm the king, I'm in power, this is my place, But look how powerful these Jewish people are becoming. The fear of them, the fear of what if they take over? What if they take my job? What if they come over here and kill me? The fear turned into manipulation and control. So many things the devil uses, one of his most biggest tools. When I become afraid, sometimes I'll say things out of my fear. When I become afraid, if I ever become insecure, I will say and do things out of fear and insecurity. Fear is one of the worst things in the whole entire world, causing suspicion, but it also causes manipulation. Manipulation, the people, none of us in here want to admit that we've ever done this. But believe it or not, consciously and subconsciously, every single one of us had used these tactics. We have used fear to manipulate and to try and control somebody else. We all have. We have done it. Whether you're a man or a woman, doesn't matter. We have all used the tactics that the devil has given to manipulate and to paralyze people. Because you know what the devil does with fear and insecurity, manipulation, paralyzing people? He wants to prevent people from hearing and acting on the truth. Next thing the devil does is one of his strategies is hiding truth, blinding people from reality, making people vulnerable. Accusations. The devil loves to point out flaws, past mistakes, past guilt. The devil is what? The accuser of the brethren. Constantly accusing, pointing out. God says when he forgives our sin, he forgets it where? As far as the east is from the west. So when God forgives you, it's gone. But when we forgive you, when we forgive one another, we'll bring it up next week, right? I forgive you, but I'm gonna bring it in your face next week. One of the biggest things the devil does is through accusations, is constantly bringing up other people's faults, but very rarely does it bring up any flaws within ourselves. Devil loves to imitate. Paul says to imitate God in everything that we do, but the devil also likes to imitate the things of God. He loves substitutes, just like we used to like substitute teachers. The devil loves to work with substitutions, to work with false promises, counterfeit versions of faith. Yeah. The devil, every single day. So I've gone through a number of different strategies. Just think, every single day, most of us in here, we're just trying to live life. We're just trying to go to work. We're just trying to pay a few bills. We're just trying to love on our family. We're just trying to have a little fun. We're just trying to do it. While the devil, who we can't see, and his demons and his boys, what are they doing? They're using strategies every single waking moment. What? To destroy you. Destroy me. To destroy family. To destroy what is good. We're just trying to get by another day. We're just trying to make it. Just trying to make through. Just trying to get through this other day, get through this week. It's going to be a rough one, right? When the devil very specifically is coming after us with these strategies, then most of us sometimes we're just not paying attention. The devil uses worldly, global distractions and concerns to get us anxious. The devil uses human wants, needs, and desires, unfilled, unmet, not meeting expectations to get distracted. How many of us have ever been in a fist fight? You know, if you ever get in a fist fight or a wrestling match, how many of us want to? Just kidding. If you've ever been in a wrestling match, you're physically seeing either getting hit or hitting. But Paul describes this spiritual battle, though, you can't see a darn thing. There's nothing you can see. And I don't know if us Christians are walking around, we're just swinging our arms like we're going to hit something. We're hitting the devils and the demons, and like we know what we're doing. Paul says, your enemy is unseen. And how are you fighting this unseen enemy? How are you handling him? How are you handling them? Swinging, taking punches, punching the air. I'm going to knock a demon out today. But what happens when we start reading God's word? What happens when we start speaking the name of Jesus? What happens when we start leaving worship music on just a little bit longer, more than just on Sunday mornings? What happens when we start doing the things and surrounding ourselves with the things of God? So Paul says, all the armor, after you have it on, stand your ground. Cover every vital place, leaving no open window. Don't leave any part of your life open. Make sure that every part of your life is protected. The truth, which Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is the most important thing. The truth that he just described here in this story, holding together the outfit, holding every single thing on, the belt of truth. Jesus, the Word of God, holding every single thing together in our life. It does none of us any good to believe lies, but many of us, we still do. It doesn't really do any one of us good. We believe half-truths and half-lies all the time. Because the devil's good at it. He's a good salesperson. But it isn't doing us any good. How many people honestly view ourselves the way that God sees us? Beautiful, handsome, strong, wonderful. All the things that God sees in us. But yet, how many of us, we look and we think and feel negative things about ourselves or other people every single day? It's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth. It's God's word. It's his truth. It's Jesus that holds armor and life and every single thing together. Paul said to put on the breastplate of righteousness, this protection that he described, of taking the belt of truth combined with the breastplate of righteousness. The truth works, faith and love. Faith working righteousness by love, which covers every part of us. The shoes, 10:14 already. Shoes, he describes putting on shoes, getting a peace that comes from the gospel. This willingness at all times, whatever God may ask, I'm prepared and I'm ready, God, for battle. This peace that I get. Peace that only God can bring to a noisy soul, to a noisy house. It's the peace of God that can only come from doing the work of God. Paul said, equip yourself with the feet, with the readiness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a peace that only can come from doing the will of God. What we don't sometimes realize and forget, because life is so fun and amazing, but the spiritual battle, if I'm not fighting, and if I'm not fighting the good fight, if I'm not going after it, I'm losing. I'm losing. Peace, a true peace that every heart wants and looks for to calm every storm, only comes from serving God. I don't know about you, if we were in a war, in a battle, and all of us had a gun, and we were equipped, I'd be going out to stay alive and not to die. But how many of us in there this morning, we're not living our spiritual lives that way? We're not physically aggressive, attacking life that God has given to us. Spiritual warfare, it is a serious thing, because it's realizing, it's reflecting, it's seeing. There's far more to life than what I see. Far more to life than what I feel. Far more to life than what I'm thinking. There are people who are after me and I can't see them. There are people who are after me, and they are lying to me, and they're lying through every avenue that they can use. They're out to take me out. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, encourage people with good teaching. Because the time's coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching, because they want to follow with their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Paul describes the armor of God as being completely covered. No matter what you've put on today, no matter what kind of clothes, no matter what we have worn in the past, some of us, we love shame, we love guilt, we love hate, We like depression. There's so many things that we've clothed ourselves with, and we got used to it. They become crutches for many of us. Jealousy and insecurity and fear. Paul says, listen, no matter what clothes you put on in the past, it's time to only clothe yourself with Jesus. He said, use the shield of faith. The shield that they use in these days were 4 feet tall by 2.5 feet wide. Faith that conquers evil. Faith that conquers the devil. The devil has been conquered. He has. Some of us just seem to give a little power because we like a little comfort from his lies sometimes. The devil's already been conquered. We just seem to let him seep back in one way or another. This morning we're going to get ready for communion in a minute. A couple more other things. Paul says to put on the salvation as your helmet. The helmet, this head of the soldier, was the utmost importance to protect. The head that commands the body. The head is the seat of the mind. And so when he says salvation as your helmet, it means to be given fully to Jesus, to put on salvation everywhere we go and everything that we do, that we're letting salvation, that we're letting being saved from Jesus Christ be the most important thing and part of our life. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, God's Word, how powerful is we know God said, I am the Word. How powerful is the Word when it's put in here and it comes back out? God's Word in our mouth, the sword of the Spirit. And lastly, he said to pray in the Spirit at all times. 2026, this year, like every year, it is a spiritual battle. And just like in war, there are people who are going to live and there's people who are going to die. In this spiritual battle, there are people who are going to win. There are people who are trying to survive, but there are going to be some who will say, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to just survive. I'm going to thrive in this spiritual battle. I'm not going to get beat up anymore. I'm not going to let the devil win anymore. I am going to thrive. This is my spiritual battle, and I'm going to do what I can. Don't fall this year for the illusion of the devil. You know, humanity, sometimes we forget that we're all in this battle together. That we're all in this battle. We're fighting for good. We're fighting for God. We're not going to take breaks. We're not going to sit down. We're going to fight, fight, fight. Turn to your neighbor and say, fight, fight, fight. The church doors are closed. You know, it's crazy. Statistically, Christianity is shrinking. Catholics, the Christian faith, the people who walk through the doors of church. We know that the church, is it represented in a building or is it represented in us? Paul says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We ourselves are the church. But yet, how many of us as the church, we blame God or we blame the church for what's right and wrong in many of our lives? Why does God, why does the church get the blame when Paul says, listen, it's not the building. It's what's inside. It's what's inside. The church doors are closed. But maybe it's not the church. Maybe it's not the building. I wonder how many of us this morning, as we wrap up, how many of us have put so much ownership and so much word and action in churches and people when they're not looking within to say, well, have my church doors been closed? Church doors are closed to those who need it most. There's people that God puts in our lives. And some of us, being a good church, we accept everybody. We try to love them through everything. Other us, nope, we got the doors locked. Stay out. It's my church. It's my place. It's my way. My rules. Isn't what Jesus came to break? The rules? He was tired of the rules and he was tired of the regulation. People became so concerned with the rules and their way. They wanted it their way. You go to a fast food place and have it your way, right? But here, it's not about... What about my way? Jesus said before he died, whose will? God, not my will, but yours be done. Amen. But why are we so forceful on church? When I'm the church, you're the church, we're the church. This place is not the church. We are the church. Amen. We are the church. If Christianity as a whole is shrinking, Is it church's problem or is it a people problem? It's a people problem. Why? Spiritual warfare. How many of us would fail miserably because we're just trying to get through the day? We're just trying to get through the week. We're just trying to make it through. Well, the devil, he's using so many different strategies. We're just hit, getting hit, boom, boom, boom. That's okay, I'm going to go to bed. I'll lay my head down. I'll get up tomorrow, I'll try again. Because we're crawling. Because we're trying to survive. Instead of thriving in the love, this powerful love, this reckless love, man, that God has for us. There is nothing on this planet and no person that loves us like God does. His love is the most powerful thing in the world. Amen. So I played a song this morning, Just Love, because I love the first sign, the church doors are closed. And it's not that our buildings closed, it's that many of us have closed our hearts to love. And we've closed our hearts to the things and the ways that God wants us to love. Because it doesn't fit me in this moment. It doesn't fit with what I'm thinking or feeling right now. And so my church doors are closed. How many of us this past year, 2025, have pushed people away that God purposely put into our life? How many of us, our attitudes, we can go back and all of us can look back and say, yeah, I probably had a bad attitude there. Yeah. I was off. I was wrong. I let people hurt me and I hurt people. How many of us, sometimes our attitude changes because we're afraid. We don't want people to take advantage of us. We're too nice. When God was here and he was serving the disciples, was he concerned with what other people thought of him? Prodigal son, we know that the Father in heaven, the description, the willing to look stupid and foolish so that he can express his love. Sometimes we've just gotten off track. God has put us here. God has put us here. We know that God gave his one and only son because he loves us. But God's put us here to give that love to every heart, mind, and soul. It is love. John 15:13, there's no greater love than he that lays down his life for his friends. No greater love. No greater love. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. We can't keep talking about how does the church provide and love me? What do I get from the church? What do I get from my boss? What do I get from my job? That's all phony. It's what am I giving? It's not what I'm getting. It's what am I giving? Do we want blessing, prosperity, healing, and all the things of God? Then we have to get off what am I getting? Those things will come, but it's what am I giving? What am I giving? How am I giving? What am I giving? Your love for one another proves you're my disciples. And you got it. Jesus said, it's your love that shows the world you got it. Have we ever got upset while we're out to eat because something didn't turn out exactly right? Have we ever been upset at church? Said something to us that they shouldn't have and brought up the past? How many things we're allowing words to affect us so deeply every single day? Why? Because it takes away from the most important thing, which is love. Mark 12:29, last verse, and we're going to close the prayer. The most important commandment is this. Listen. It says, O Israel, but we're going to say him. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Philippians 2:12. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. But now that I'm not with you, even more important, work hard to show the results of your own salvation. Obeying God with reverence and fear. And so this morning, as we start 2026 together, as church, as friends, family, 2026, let this year, 2026, be a year of spiritual growth, a year of deepening our faith, a year of truly loving God and loving every single person that He brings into our life. It's the love that you give. It's the love that you show that proves that you belong to Jesus. Let's pray.